All right. It was a good Thanksgiving. I hope we all had a good Thanksgiving. Good to see everybody. And I love this time of year. I just love it. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. I love this time of year. And so, in honor of that, in honor of thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ, I like to think about some of the things that were going on at the time of his birth and the people that involved and things like that. And some of these things we visit kind of yearly, maybe in a little bit different ways. But this morning, we're in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, and starting in really about verse 25. This is a man named Simeon and his faith, and how it affected his life. The more we've gone over Old Testament in Sunday school and my own just personal going through the Bible, I've started to get an anticipation of what it would be like to anticipate the coming of the Messiah in Israel. If you were a believer, if you were someone who had followed the words of God, and it was building up to this the coming of Jesus Christ, you know, starting off, you got Matthew and Mark and Luke record these things. But I feel like I get a little bit of a sense of anticipation from Old Testament and coming to this point in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ is born. He is everything the nation of Israel was, I'd say, looking for, but not everyone was looking for him, but they should have been. He is the reason the nation would exist. And there's a few people around his birth. I try to put myself in their shoes to have lived in that culture and gone to synagogue regularly to be a participant. Even if you lived in Jerusalem in the capital city and you would go to the temple and just participate in the religion and the not in a bad way, but religion in a good way, and you would participate in the culture and participate in the scriptures and how they directed the nation. And now you're in the fullness of time, where the person that is going to solve the problem that has been in mankind forever, since sin entered the world, the person that's going to now enter the scene has now been born. And this man is the Messiah. This child is the Messiah. This child is the solution to sin. This child is going to bring forgiveness of sin to mankind. And to live in that time, I mean, truly, it was when John talks about in Revelation, the new heavens and new earth, you truly enter what feels like a new time in history, a new culture, a new and I think about it with personally, and maybe you guys can relate. You feel like you've lived through several cultural shifts where the culture has just completely changed. And I feel like I've lived through a couple of these. And so this would be that in a positive way. This would be the man that we've been waiting for has now shown up. And he's just a baby at this point in time. But we know who he is. And he is going to solve our problems. He is going to remove the sin that has created the perversion and the corruption in our lives and in our governments. And this man is going to do this. And so Simeon is an audience to this. He is there in the temple when Jesus Christ is brought to the temple to be ceremonially. He's got the circumcision, but that comes with the naming of the child. And he's going to be named Jesus at this point in time. And this man, I just try to put myself into his best I can, into his thoughts and his excitement and his just jubilation at what's going on here. And he's in the temple, and Mary comes in, and Joseph comes in, and this baby comes in, and how this is communicated, I don't know all the details, but Simeon knows that is the one we have been waiting for. I cannot imagine what that would feel like. But this is the one we've been waiting for. This little baby that you're carrying in, this will be the man that we've been waiting for. And so Simeon, I want to examine a little bit about his faith, because this is what brings him to this point. And in Luke chapter 2, start at verse 21. I'm going to read this account to you, and then I want to draw out a few things about Simeon's faith, because the first coming and the people anticipating the first coming are very much like the people who will anticipate the second coming. And so Luke chapter 2 verse 21 says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." What an incredible promise to live with. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And that's the statement, and that's the episode that we find Simeon in. He is living on a promise that he is going to see God's Christ. He's going to see the Messiah. And he's not going to die until that happens. And so this is such a it would be such an exciting time to live in this and be there at this moment. And so Simeon is a few things about his faith that I want to kind of look at here. He's got he obviously has faith. Not everybody in Jerusalem is in the same position Simeon is in. Not everybody is waiting for this Messiah. Even though some may say they are, they're not really doing that. I always find it interesting, the first people that Matthew cites as showing up to see Jesus Christ, at least the first ones he mentions, are men from the east. They're not people in Jerusalem. They're not, they're shepherds, but then there's men from the east that come, and there's wise men, and they show up. And so in Jerusalem now, Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem as a baby. Simeon is there, and it is an incredible event for Simeon. This is the promise that he's been waiting for. So first, think about this, the substance of his faith. There are several characteristics about Simeon that you read here. It says he's a just man, he's devout, he's waiting for the Lord, he's waiting, and the Holy Spirit is upon him. And this is kind of the description that the Holy Spirit is with this man, and it's seen through the substance of his occupying his time. How does he do this? Well, he comes to the temple, probably praying, he's doing everything he should be doing. His character is good. His character is just. He's an equitable man. He's a man who's fair. He's a man who seems to love righteousness, a man who wants justice, who wants good. And so the Bible says he's just. The Bible says he's devout, so he's devoted. And all these things really, I mean, what you're reading about are characteristics that define the substance of his faith. And as that applies to you and I, there's a couple things to apply here first. The Bible says that faith is substance, and we've talked about this a lot. But faith is, what is it in your life that is faith? Is it being here in church? That could be something. That was something for Simeon. He was in the temple. He was anxiously and eagerly waiting to see who this Messiah is going to be. Who is this Christ? But he was waiting in a way that it affected his character. He's a just man. This isn't said about Simeon like he's a wicked man who's anxiously awaiting the Messiah. He's not. He's a just man. He's a good man. And that's part of his faith. That's part of who he is and how he follows the Lord. And I think that applies equally to you and I. How does your faith apply to your decisions, to your character, to your life? I've heard this, it was said, a long time ago, I remember a preacher said this. Some of us, and I used to do this, some of us blame our personality for being, you know, well, I'm not this, I'm not that, therefore, you know, I'm not a people person, so therefore I have a right to be mean, or something like that. We just blame our personality. And I heard a preacher say, God is here to mess up your personality. He is going to change you into a good person. That's what he's trying to do. He's going to change you into a kind person. He's going to change you into a just person. Where you don't blame your personality. You don't blame these other things for the sin in your life. It's God is going to root that stuff out, and he's going to turn you into a Christian that loves these things, is devout, just like Simeon. He is a devout man. He's a man who is just, who is equitable, and eagerly anticipating the coming Jesus Christ, the coming Christ. And so waiting is not, he's not just waiting and passing time and doing whatever he wants to do and defrauding people and hurting people while he waits. His waiting is being a good person. His waiting is being a just person. His waiting is loving righteousness. His waiting is loving goodness. This is how he waits. Just like John would say it at the end of the Bible, towards the end of the Bible, 1 John, he that has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. That's the sort of waiting. I don't know if we do this anymore. I don't know if this is a thing. It was a thing when I was a kid. But right before mom and dad would get home, you would clean the house. And you would do that to remove the evidence. And so you would clean the house. And this is the idea. And I know it's sort of a... that's not the necessarily... It's not a show with Christianity. But the idea is there is... When I see his face, when I see dad coming or mom coming, I want this place to be clean. I don't want there to be evidence of bad things around here. I don't want there to be any bad things around here. And it's kind of the same thing that John said, you know, he that has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. So someone who has this in their heart, one of the things that they love is holiness. One of the things they love is cleanliness. One of the things they love is goodness. One of those things, that cleanliness on the inside. Clean up the inside of the cup. And so Simeon is that. His character is good. He's occupied himself with good things. And this is the substance of his life. He's just. He's devout. And he has these characteristics. And it answers the definition in Hebrews that the substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is the substance of your life that shows you your hoping for and you're looking forward to Jesus Christ? How does that play out? In Simeon's life, it looked like good character. It looked like going to the temple. It looked like probably praying. It looked like going through the things that would accompany eagerly waiting and looking for this Christ to show up. So Simeon, his the substance, I wanted to notice the substance of Simeon's hope. And I say that because I don't want us to think that faith is an empty thing. And I feel like that's becoming more and more of an issue where Christians, we don't live out faith in a way that, well, put it this way, we just don't live out our faith in a way that is recognizable to the world. We don't live out our faith in a way that shows that we have any expectation of ever facing Jesus Christ or seeing Jesus Christ or anticipating Jesus Christ. And so faith is basically, I belong to this denomination, or I belong to this church, or I belong to this. But faith is not like that in the Bible. Faith is, how has this affected your character? How has this affected your life? How has this affected your behavior? And so in Simeon's life, it's evident. It's substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What he's hoping for is definitely played out in his life. He's looking for the Messiah, and when he knows and sees that Jesus Christ, this baby named Jesus, is the Christ, he is just overjoyed. He is overjoyed. And it's the fruition of everything that he's hoped for now. And so you see the substance of Simeon's faith, and I love it. I wish I could just be in his mind and in his heart at that time. I mean, what an incredible promise to see right in front of your face. And so Simeon sees it. Why does he see it? He's got this faith that has substance to it. And he's in the right place to see it. And he's there at the right time to see it. And so he's able to see what God's doing. The second thing is the content. Simeon says some very curious things that you probably don't hear from other prophets in the Old Testament or from prophets in the Old Testament, but he seems to know quite a bit about this Messiah, quite a bit about the work of Jesus Christ, and more so than it seems like a lot of the prophets may have known. Some of the prophets may have known. So I want you to notice the content of Simeon's faith. His clear understanding of the gospel is that Jesus Christ must die and rise again. That is something the disciples didn't seem to get until later. But he seems to understand there's a death coming here with this man. And maybe he watched it in the Old Testament. He watched the history of the prophets and those who had the Spirit of Christ and how they were treated. And now here is Christ. So how is he going to be treated? He's going to be treated like all these other prophets. The content of Simeon's faith, he understands the gospel is that Jesus Christ must die, or Jesus is the Christ, and that he must die and looks like rise again. He's a man who seemed to see the resurrection. He seems to understand that Jesus Christ is salvation to all nations. This is something that, again, Israel had trouble with. It was kind of like, well, we got a Messiah and he's for us. This is why you have books like Jonah in the Bible, where Jonah's sent to this heathen nation, and then he fights it. Like, I don't want to go there. Our light is for us. It's not for everybody else. That's not true. That was never true. It was even in the promise to Abraham. Early on in Genesis, the promise to Abraham is that this seed would bless all nations. Everybody in the world would be blessed by this promise. And Simeon understands that. And so he says it. Oops. He says that. He says as much. That he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. He understands that Jesus Christ is the light of God to all men. That's the content of his faith. If that's what he believes. It's what he believes. The other thing is, not only did he see the death, looks like the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he saw judgment in this. He saw that this man would reveal the hearts of people. And it would be like a sword that would pierce through the hearts of people and reveal secrets. And this idea, this theology is all through Jesus Christ preaching. And we've covered it multiple times. The fact that he talks about praying in secret, fasting in secret, things like that, so that the secrets, some can be good, some can be bad. But the secrets, this is where you are who you are. This stuff, this is where you are, and this is, God sees these things. Jake did a great job the other week about explaining some of this in Hebrews, chapter 4, where you've got the Word of God. It's a two-edged sword. It divides motives. It pierces through the heart and divides what this motive is about. Because we can fool ourselves about a lot of things, and that is something that is very... I don't know. It's just very easy to do. And absent of God's light, absent of some outside source that shines light on your own heart, it's impossible to figure out what your real motive. I mean, it's so difficult. We hide those things so well. We cover those things so well. We're very good about deceiving ourselves, and sometimes we want to be deceived. Sometimes I'd rather be told lies than the truth. What Simeon says is, this man, his words will get to the heart of the matter, and they will get to the motives of people, and they will divide out wickedness and righteousness. And Paul would say it. Paul would say it in the Colossians, to the Colossians. He would talk about the circumcision made without hands and the putting off of the body of flesh, where you divide out what's spiritual, what's carnal. And you look into the heart, and the heart, which is deceitful and desperately wicked, and it's so deceptive, it's like a snake. But then you shine the light of the Lord on the words of God, and it starts identifying, oh no, that's not a pure motive, that's wickedness. That's perversion of something. And Simeon says, this man will drive a sword between wickedness and righteousness in people's hearts. And he does. He does. Jesus Christ preaching, I mean, it was something that stirred up wicked people and made them more angry. And for people who were righteous, who wanted to do right, who wanted to follow the Lord, it brought conviction, it brought the necessary guilt, not unnecessary guilt, but the necessary guilt that shone light on places that needed to be illuminated. And Simeon understood this. He seemed to understand quite a bit the content of Simeon's faith. He understood that Jesus Christ was for everybody, not just for Jerusalem, not just for Judah, not just for Israel. He's for everybody. He's the Savior of the world. This is what John would say. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. It's not just for your nation. It's not just for you. Thank you for bringing him about, but it's not just for you. This seed, this promise is for all, to take away the sin of the world. And so Simeon gets it. He gets it. He gets that Jesus Christ is the judge of secrets of men. Paul would talk about that in Romans. He gets that Jesus Christ is salvation to all men. He's light to all men. John would talk about that in John chapter 1. When he's recording about Jesus being not necessarily born, but in the beginning is the Word, and the Word's with God, the Word was God, and he talks about the light. And he talks about John the Baptist, and he says John the Baptist wasn't the light, but he talked about the light. And the light was the light that illumined all men. And the light is Christ. This is what Simeon understood. This is the content of his faith. He is so thoroughly enamored and so thoroughly believing that Jesus, this baby Jesus, is the Christ who is going to bring about all of these things. So the content of his faith is good, and it's very perceptive, and it's in some cases a little bit more understanding than even Jesus Christ's disciples understood. It's very, very, very well done. You see the substance of his faith. What did it do for his life? What in his life was evidential? What in his life was substantial because of his faith? What was it that made him who he was about what he believed about the Lord? And then second thing you see is the content. What is it that he's actually believing? These are the things that he actually believes about Christ. This man is life. This man is light. Or this child will become a man who is life and light and salvation and a judge. And his words will divide wickedness and righteousness in the hearts of people. Third thing is the reward. And the last thing about Simeon, this is all you really have about his life. But it really seems to be the most important thing, or at least the fruition of all of the important things in his life. The reward of his faith, his hope in Christ. Obviously, I don't know how old he is. You kind of get the idea that maybe he's older. Just because this promise, he's promised not to die until he sees the Lord's Christ. But this hope brings direction. And in his life, he's in a place now. He's in a place in his life where he can see the full work of God in a way that people meandering around Jerusalem, not really thinking about the Christ or the coming Christ, not really participating with God in the way he is, they don't get to see these things, but Simeon does. And so he's rewarded. He's in the right place. He's led by the Lord. I mean, you and I would probably say this is these circumstances and coincidences or something. But it's not. He's in the right place because he has the right direction. He has the right leadership. Paul would say it this way, that they who are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. That's Simeon. He's led by the Spirit of God. That's said a couple times in here. And because he's led by the Spirit of God, he has this promise on his life of light and hope and a future. And he's put in the right place. And he just happens to be at the right place at the right time to see the Lord's Christ. The Bible says it this way. In the Old Testament, in Proverbs, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Which he does. But if the Lord is consulted, the Lord is honored in your life, you get that direction. You get the benefit of that direction, just like Simeon did. And the Spirit of God leads and led him. I mean, you just consider the contrast. Think about this. Just consider the contrast of this. This is the baby that will be and is everything about the nation of Israel come to fruition in this young man, this child. But you don't see any Pharisees around. You don't see any of the scribes hanging out and trying to witnessing this event. There's a couple people that are noted. You'll see Anna in this episode here, and Simeon. And Simeon's he doesn't seem to be a priest. He doesn't really seem to be a teacher of anything. I mean, he's not like a hired guy in a synagogue or anything. He's a regular man who believes the promises of the Lord, who tries to follow the Lord, and now has this hope and this, now it's reality, this hope that's become reality in his life to see the work of God come to fruition in this little baby. But the contrast of Simeon to the religious leadership that's absent at this time, or even in Matthew's record, the religious leadership that is hostile to the work of God in Jesus Christ. That's interesting. Where they're kind of helping Herod go after Christ. I mean, it's a stark contrast. You consider that contrast of where is the Spirit of God here? Well, it's in Simeon. You would think he should be in the ones who are talking about the Spirit of God through the Scriptures. The ones who are teaching him in synagogue on a regular basis, but that's not where the Spirit of God is. He's in this man who has hope, who is actually following the Spirit of God, who's actually listening to the Lord, and now he's in the right place at the right time to see the work of God. What a contrast. Simeon's led to the temple where he'd find Jesus Christ at the right time. Simeon's led in hope and peace. These are the characteristics that guide him. And he's led in hope and peace through the valley of the shadow of death. What did Simeon say after this in this leadership of God? He says, now I can kind of go in peace now. And I've you know, you've got, it is refreshing, I will say, you know, in funerals of Christian folks who love the Lord, you kind of get the same feeling that Simeon had here. It's like, I can go in peace. I've seen what I need to see. I know what I need to know. And now I can go. Simeon is, this is what I've been waiting for, and now I've seen it. It's like David would say in the Old Testament, the Lord is my shepherd, and he leads me. And he leads me, just like Simeon's life. The Lord is his shepherd. He leads him. He leads him through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus Christ would say it this way, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They listen. And they follow me. Just like following the Spirit of God. So not only was Simeon led in hope, he's also a man who would be given a prosperous future. I mean, a future with Christ, a future in Christ, a future hope. And so this is why he says the things he says. Now I can go. I've seen in this life what I need to see. I've become familiar with the work of God in this life, and that satisfies me. Now I see what God's doing, and I'm happy. Now I see the work of Jesus Christ, Jesus who will be, who is the Christ. Now I see the Lord's Christ, and I'm happy. God has brought forgiveness. He has brought peace. He's brought joy. He's brought the taking away of sins in one person. And now I'm happy. I can see that. And so what does Simeon say at the end? He blesses him in verse 34. He said unto Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A light to lighten the Gentiles, verse 32. Verse 30, my eyes have seen thy salvation. What a statement, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. What a statement. What an incredible time. What an anticipation, and what an answer to prayer. And so Simeon, three things about his faith that I want us to think about. Simeon, the content of his faith. What is it that he believed about Jesus Christ? Well, he believed that Jesus Christ is the light of all men. He believed Jesus Christ is salvation to all men. He believed that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Messiah. He believed that Jesus is the solution to man's problems. This is what Simeon believed. What did it do in his life? This is the substance. And you and I ought to ask ourselves that. What does Christianity do? I think people ask that question. I think people who don't go to church ask that question. What's the point? What is the point of this? What is the point of me taking a couple of hours from my day on Sunday to listen to somebody talk about scriptures or a Bible? What is the point? And you and I, according to Peter, ought to have an answer. What is the point of this? What is the point? The point is Jesus Christ is life. He's eternal life. He's the forgiveness of sins. He's the one who is going to bring peace and joy and life to all people. He is it. He is it. The substance of Simeon's hope and faith, you got the content of it. What did he believe? Number two, how did it affect him? How does it affect you? He's a just man. He's devout. He's waiting to see the Lord's Christ. And then he's rewarded for it. If he was just somebody who's waiting around but not rewarded, that's not as good, obviously. But he's rewarded. And what a blessing. What a blessing to be told, you're not going to pass until you see the Lord's Christ. I can't imagine the joy on his face and in his heart when he saw Jesus as a baby and he said, that's the one. That's the one I'm waiting for. And whether you know it or not, whether you understood or thought about it enough to know this or not, Jesus Christ is the one you're waiting for. He is the one you need. He is the one you're waiting for. He is the one who has the solution. He is the one who has the direction. He is the one who will help you navigate this life. Because at the end of this life, obviously there's a grave. But you'll be able to say things like Simeon said, now my eyes have seen. But I need to see. I can now go on in peace. I know my future with Christ. I know my future hope. And I know it's all wrapped up in Him. And whether you know it or not, He's the one. Jesus Christ is the one you're waiting on. Just like Simeon, he knew it, but he knew it. So I hope that's helpful. The content of his faith, the substance of his faith. What did it do to him? And then the reward. And the reward is important because it's coming. I hope that's helpful. I say it's coming. Part of it can be now. Part of it's now. Some of us enjoy eternal life right now. And you can too. You trust Jesus Christ. You follow Jesus Christ. You have eternal life right now and you can participate in it. Why? Because He is eternal life. Christ is life. He's life and light and direction and help and guidance and all those things. So I hope that's helpful. Got anything you want to say? All right. Let's pray. And we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray it's been, again, that's helpful. I love thinking about these things and just the excitement that must have been in Simeon's life. To live through this, a complete change in the economy of, I don't know, of reality. I mean, just the whole thing changes with the birth of Christ and the entrance of Jesus Christ onto the world scene. What an incredible time to live, and what an incredible thing to see. And now we benefit by looking back on it as history. We live in this time where Jesus Christ has rose from the dead and he's beat death, and we participate in eternal life in a way that is just, it's matter of fact. It's here. And we can be led by the Spirit of God. We can trust you, Lord, to be the judge. We can trust you to be our hope and our reward. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us apply these things in this time. And help us to trust Jesus Christ. Help him to listen and humble ourselves to his words and walk in his ways. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.